dropping your rifle, and moderator or muzzle brake this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Mail Call Mondays is a little bit late coming out, and I want to apologize for that. I was teaching a red dot handgun operators course for my department this week, and that kind of pushed my whole weekly schedule back a considerable amount. But I didn't want to leave you without one this week, so we are going to go ahead and drop it in here at the end of the week, and hopefully we will be able to get the next one out on time on Monday. So the first question this week comes from Facebook, and Darren asks, how resilient are rifle barrels? I cheaped out on a soft case with a shoulder sling and it failed. Sling detached and the rifle fell barrel first onto the concrete floor. Should I be worried about the trueness of my barrel? Well, Darren, that's a very good question, and first of all, buy once, cry once, right? It's interesting when we look at the rifles that we tend to be very, very concerned with the barrel, but the reality is the barrel is really the most durable part of the rifle when we're talking about impacts and hard use. Now, portions of the rifle barrel that we do want to protect are the crown, if you're talking about something that doesn't have a brake on it or a suppressor, and the lead, or the area going into the chamber, which is not generally open to the environment anyway. But outside of those two areas, rifle barrels tend to be very durable, especially the barrels that we use in precision rifle competition. When you think about it, you basically have this big, heavy-duty steel bar that is designed to contain an enormous amount of pressure. And they're usually not that long when they're compared to the diameter. Now, obviously, a longer barrel with a narrower diameter can bend easier than a short, fat barrel. But most of the time, we are talking about fairly heavyweight barrels. Remington Sendero or heavier are what we use for precision rifle shooting, where we're really worried about that. So I would not be concerned at all about the barrel drop, assuming that you haven't actually damaged the crown of the rifle. What I would be more concerned about is if the rifle took a pretty good hit, about possibly damaging the bedding or the action screws in it. I would be even more concerned about the scope rail and the scope mounting hardware. And then, of course, there's the rifle scope itself, although most high-end rifle scopes are durable enough to take a pretty good hit. As long as you don't actually fracture any of the glass lenses, they can usually take a pretty good hit and keep going. But when we think about, for instance, a Remington 700, the scope base is mounted to the top of the receiver with some very small screws. So if the rifle takes a pretty good drop and the scope takes a pretty good hit, it could shear off those screws. Most of the time what happens, though, is things just shift a tiny bit. You lose your zero, you re-zero the rifle, and then you gas on and everything is okay. So assuming that the torque is all good on your screws, all your fasteners held, your barrel is probably just fine. Now, when we get down into 22 long rifles like this, everything tends to be a little bit lighter weight. So here we have the Tika T1X, which has a fairly narrow barrel. I know it's difficult to see because you only see the thread protector poking out the end here. But it has a fairly narrow barrel, and it is in a very heavyweight chassis overall. This is a really chunky overall weight rifle. If the barrel was protruding, say I had a suppressor or a moderator screwed onto the end of this rifle, and I dropped it and slammed that into it, I might be a little bit concerned about a shift in here, because for this rifle, the barrel is slip fit and then tightened in by set screws through the bottom of it. So I would be concerned about some movement of it. Again, I don't know that I would be that concerned about actually bending the barrel itself, even though this is a smaller diameter barrel. It's also a smaller bore barrel, so we still have a lot of material there. But if you were going with like a sporter weight hunting rifle and you were climbing over a fence and fell, and actually fell on top of the rifle with the barrel braced against something, then I might be concerned about actually bending the barrel, because then you have some ballistic force, which really raises the force that is applied to it. You have a small barrel, and if it's supported at the extreme end, say the muzzle is laying against the fence, and the buttstock is laying against the ground, and then you impact it from the side, that could put some bend into it. So there, it might be worthwhile to sight down the bore and take a look and see if you see any bends in it. But that is one of the indicators, just looking down the bore and see if you can see any warpage one way or the other. It may take a fairly trained eye to see a very small variance, but that is actually how they straighten barrels at the factory when they're making rifles. They have a great big huge machine. They have a guy that is very experienced. He sights down the barrel, and then he tweaks the barrel just a little bit here or there to straighten the blanks out before they go on through the rest of the processes. So my thing would be, if you just dropped it from carrying height because a strap failed on a bag and it was still in the bag and bounced off the ground, you are pretty much fine as far as that goes. If you dropped it and then fell on top of the rifle or dropped it down the side of a mountain, then it might be worthwhile to break everything down and check it. But the real tale will be the next time you take it out to the range and you shoot a group with it. If it groups well, rock on. If you have to alter your zero just a little bit to compensate, as long as the rifle is still grouping and you're not dialing a ton of windage or elevation on it, you are probably just fine. Our next question comes from Ricky, and Ricky asks, first PRS style match for me has happened, and I'm wondering, is there a real disadvantage to me using my Ruger Precision Rifle 308 moderated instead of the muzzle brake that it came with, taking into consideration factory class? Could I be losing out? Keep up the good work. Always enjoy the channel. Well, since you use moderator instead of silencer or suppressor, I would assume that you are not located here in the U.S., so I am not 100% sure on PRS rules overseas in whichever country you happen to be in, but assuming the rules allow a moderator in factory class, then my recommendation would be try it with the brake first. Brakes versus moderators, we have gone over this before, but the really simple solution to it is, or simple answer to it is, the brake will reduce recoil. It will help you track your impacts or spot your impacts a whole lot more than a moderator will. Moderators add to the enjoyment of shooting because you don't get that concussion. You're not getting beaten up if you have to shoot inside an obstacle, inside a structure, concrete culverts, etc. But they do pose some problems. They do not mitigate recoil as well as a high-performance muzzle brake. And the one that comes on the Ruger Precision Rifle isn't super high performance, but it is an acceptable muzzle brake. And then the flip side of that is moderators will increase mirage, which then causes you a little bit of issue seeing your impacts and seeing your target towards the end of a long string of fire. And if it is a very hot day and your courses of fire are fairly close together, then you may not have a lot of time for that to cool down. So it does add another variable. It adds another level of difficulty in it. So if this is your first PRS match, I really highly suggest you go and just shoot it with the brake. And then as you gain some experience, if you want to accept the drawbacks that a suppressor brings into it, then go ahead and bring the suppressor or the moderator along and shoot that. Of course, make sure that you put it on well before the match. You shoot it, you confirm your zero, because some moderators can cause a zero shift from unmoderated. And I would say once you put it on and once you confirm the zero, don't remove it until after the match. Once the match is over, then go ahead and pull the thing off when you go through your regular cleaning routine. But that would be my recommendation. Do it with the brake first and then decide later on if you want to try it with the moderator. I love shooting suppressed rifles. Absolutely love it. It's so much more fun than getting pounded up by a brake, but the reality is the brakes are more effective. Brakes are the better option if you are really going for that high-level competition. So that's it for questions on this Mail Call Mondays. But I've got this guy up here because I want to talk about it real quick. We are fast approaching our local NRL 22 match for August. And I am going to shoot the Tika T1X in the Modular Driven Technologies ACC chassis. And we do have the Bushnell Forge rifle scope on here. So obviously this is an open class rifle, but as is generally not a good idea anytime you are competing for points, I am going to try quite a bit of new stuff here because I really kind of like to do that. When I go shoot these matches, I'm not generally shooting them to be the points leader in the match. I'm shooting them because I like the challenge of shooting a match, and I like being able to grab something new out of the bag, throw it up in a match, and then have to adapt and make it work. That's just kind of the way I enjoy it. If I was a sponsored shooter and where I finished in the match really mattered, I would shoot the same rig for every single match. But because I'm not a sponsored shooter, it doesn't really matter where I end up in the point standing. I like to do some odd stuff sometimes. So the rifle I have sitting in front of me, as I mentioned, was the T1X. We're still running the factory barrel on it for now, but we will likely be replacing the barrel later on just to see how well some of the aftermarket barrels out there perform. The T1X barrel that is on here has performed very, very well. So there's not really a need to change it out, but really, we don't do a lot of stuff because we need to do it. We do it because we want to do it. The ACC chassis, this has just been an absolutely amazing chassis. Obviously, we are sponsored by Modular Driven Technologies, but this thing has been a ton of fun to shoot. You can really just configure it however you want to set up for what you like. So if you want a lightweight chassis, you can strip all the weight out of it, and it's fairly lightweight. If you want a heavyweight chassis, you can load the thing up with twice as many weights as I have and really make it a heavy chassis. Whatever pistol grip you want, etc. Fully adjustable buttstock. We've covered it quite a few times. The big benefit of it is we do have the full-length Arca rail on the bottom here, and I want to shoot it because I'm going to try some new stuff, and one of the things is the Coltac backbone that we have here. We do have an Area 419 clamp on here, and their bag, and they actually were nice enough to send out two bags. They sent out this smaller bag with the backbone, which is really a great barricade bag, and it will snap right on the Arca rail here or wherever I want to put it. And then I can swap the backbone out for their tricorn bag, which should be legal for NRL 22, and that will give me a little bit more stability on the ends of the tank trap. Now, to be honest, I haven't even looked at the August course of fire yet for NRL 22, so I'm not sure if we're going to have tank trap shooting, but we almost always do. So if we do, the backbone and the tricorn will help me shoot on that quite a bit. And lastly, we have the Warn bipod on here. I have both a Warn bipod in, I also have a MDT Skypod in. So we're probably going to run the Warn in the NRL 22 match, and then at the local precision rifle match, the centerfire match this month, I'm going to run the Skypod, and that will give me, under match conditions, the ability to kind of compare and contrast the two of them. The Skypod is obviously the tier one bipod right now. But the Warn bipod has some really interesting features, and I want to see how it works on the clock and how it works when you've got a little bit more stress of a match. It's worked fine for just zeroing and shooting from the prone or shooting from the bench, but it's a whole lot more when you have to deploy it and move the thing around while it's on the clock. It is Arca rail compatible, so I can slide the bipod anywhere I want on here. And really nice thing about the ACC chassis, I do have a stop up here, so I can't just accidentally slide the bipod off. But with the Warn, just a couple of turns on the side screw here, and I can jettison the bipod if I need to. So the last thing that I will cover on here is I do have a short action precision magazine holder on the side. It's just a little elastic loop that Velcros onto the side of the chassis. This is really nice because the T1 is limited to 10 round magazines right now. So if I have a problem or I have a dead round that I need to eject, I need to be able to throw a spare magazine in. So having one on the side of the gun that I can strip off and throw in and get that last shot or two It's kind of important if I'm going to be running in the open class. It actually would be kind of important even in base class, but base class, you know, if you stick one in your pocket, you probably have plenty of time to get it out of your pocket and get it in. The last thing I'm going to talk about is the bolt knob and bolt shroud that we have on here. Sterk Shooting in Australia was nice enough to send out their bolt handle and shroud. Obviously, this was not legal for base class, but now this rig runs in open class, so I was able to put this thing on, and it gives it a very similar feel to an Accuracy International. I really like the ball bolt handles like this. They just flow so smoothly in your hand, and when you combine it with a 60 degree lift like this Action has, it's a very, very quick bolt to run now. And the aluminum bolt shroud, you know, while not really necessary, it just looks very nice. It complements the rifle. It gets the kind of the cheap plastic bolt shroud out. And it does still have the cocking indicator on the back. I was really happy that they retained the cocking indicator. So you swap that over from the one bolt shroud into this one, and you can still see when the firing pin is cocked or not. Well, that's it for this Mail Call Mondays. If you guys like the show, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And make sure you click that little bell icon down there so you get notified when we release new content. If you got any questions or comments over anything we've covered, please leave it in the comments section down below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. And finally, I mentioned this last month, but we did team up with Red Ghost Custom Engraving. Red Ghost Gun Shop is a local shop here, and they really knocked it out of the park with these awesome engraved tumblers. So if you guys need something to keep your beverage hot or keep your beverage cold, then check these things out. There's quite a few different colors. There are several different sizes. This is the medium size. They also have a coffee cup size and a larger size. And they are Polar Camel brand tumblers. They keep your drink cold really, really well. And the really cool part is $5 out of every purchase goes back to support the show. So in addition to getting a cool tumbler and being able to fly the flag for us, you also help support the show. So check the link down below if you want to know how to pick up one of these really cool tumblers. And finally, I want to thank our supporters over on Patreon. I absolutely love having you guys over there and hearing your input on different things, different directions, different stuff we want to try. If you guys want to check out a little inside view to the show and have the ability to join in on quarterly live chats, please check out the link to Patreon down below. And until next time, get out and shoot.